Good morning and welcome to Plant Experts Live at Prairie Gardens. I'm Tamara McDaniel. If you can, join us here at the store. We're at 3000 West Springfield in Champaign, here at the corner of Springfield and Duncan. You can also phone us with your questions or comments, 356-9397, 356-WDWS, or you can text us at 351-5357. We have our experts standing by, and they include John Weisgarver.
Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Steve Brown.
Well, hi there, Tamara. I'm just giggling at Marianne here. I'm not sure I giggle, but if I I would be doing it right now.
Thank you.
And good morning, Marianne Metz.
Thank you. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. Now, what are we giggling at? Just how you were...
Cherry pear.
Stooping.
Oh, I didn't... So, yeah, I was bending over a lot when you were talking, and here I am.
I didn't see you sitting up at the table, and so I put you
last. So it doesn't count if I'm not sitting down.
There you go.
Well, all she right. still has car lag from her awesome trip. Not this last few days.
Oh,
she's been here
last week.
Taking care of the shop, but the week before you were teaching and learning.
American Hospice Society National Convention.
Yay.
It was really awesome. Cool. It was in Green Bay. It was an awesome show. Fabulous gardens, like always.
Nice.
But we have fabulous gardens everywhere. So this community has great gardens. Yeah, I miss the garden walk. Boy, all I've heard of are accolades about the gardens that were on the walk this year.
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm curious, if you're going to, how can you see so many hosta gardens when you're at, are they bringing them with them? Are they bringing photos?
Oh, sure.
You
just bring your whole garden with you. Why not?
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know.
It only takes a couple of semis.
Well, in those big convention spaces, you can set up a table.
You have a home base. You have a convention hotel. You have banquets and learning seminars and a leaf show. I can't forget the leaf show because that was huge. It was over 500 entries this year of leaves.
Wow. So describe that in detail.
People
just don't bring a leaf and that's it, right? I mean, there's judging.
There's a lot more to it. Yeah,
sharing.
There's judging. And it's just like the rose competition or peony competition, daylilies. They're judging the quality of what's grown and right there in front of you as per what it's registered. And that's an important process of the hosta world is registering your hosta and then growing something. So people will take days and weeks to peruse their garden and pick out the perfect leaf on a particular plant.
Now, is this on new registrants that they've had a sport, that they've grown and developed, or is this tried and true varieties where, it could be Sagai or Quaggobolli or whatever that they're bringing in just to share and be judged.
All of the above.
Oh wow! Okay.
So there's a category for practically anything that's growing, for unregistered and registered, and named varieties that are not registered, and small little tiny things and big gargantuan stuff. It was because everybody in the Midwest, particularly, but people come from all over the world actually. They usually don't bring leaves from overseas, but. So much water that the hosta are just growing huge, just like in my garden. They're just gargantuan this year because of all the moisture.
So how do they keep the leaves as fresh to last for days and days and days plus the travel?
It's a process.
Do they put them in a water tube?
Do
they have them in a vase? Or how do they do it?
You cut the leaves at when it's cool in the evening usually or the early morning. You put them. Usually people travel with them in a cooler. I've seen processes where people have brought them on airplanes.
I thought those were organ donations.
They're hosta leaves. So, and people have developed special carriers. Putting UPC pipes, not UPCs, PVS.
PVC?
PVS.
PVC pipes?
No, PCB.
Whatever.
PBS.
Putting little round tubes in buckets so that you can put water in them, but the tubes hold up the leaves so that they don't crush and get damaged. And the people that are on airplanes, so they've wrapped them between tissue paper. There's all sorts of processes. Everybody has their own little trick. But keeping them fresh
just drive 1,000 miles and sit a fly.
Exactly. So it's really a neat process to watch people do this. And it's a huge competition. It's really great. And then they spend, a couple of hours, there's a room that's dedicated to cleaning the leaves and getting them prepped for the show. So they sit there. After they've already done it, they do it again. Then there's a entry card you fill out, and it has to be properly filled out. And
you know, they've made some great movies about these people in dog shows. Why haven't they made a great movie about people doing in these hostage shows?
That's an excellent idea.
Be fabulous. Watching this process is just a hoot. But then, you know, they take them into this big big room with, you know, tables and tables and tables, and they're put in vases. There's glass vases of different sizes, and there were leaves, honestly, that were a foot and a half wide and longer, you know, in the big category. But, you know, they're pretty big vases. But, you know, they're held up with cotton balls in the top so that it stands straight up. And they're properly labeled and everything. It's really a neat process.
That's cool.
Then there's panels of judges. And you have to have been around and doing this for several years before you have the status to do it. You know, you have to go through classes and take tests and blah, 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 blah. But then
you've been a judge before.
I've been a judge for 35 years,
maybe
30 years, actually, a master judge. But it's a process, and you have different levels of judges. And it's just fun. It's really informative. The public comes in and looks at these leaves and thinks, I thought it was just a green one and a blue one and a variegated one, but no.
It's not like the county fair.
No, it isn't. There's just, and everything from little tiny.
Because in my head, that's what I'm picturing.
Yeah,
green one, blue one, variegated. And that's,
you know, 500 entries, there were maybe a dozen or half, a dozen and a half that had, you know, different people brought the same leaf. So they're judged as one category, but that probably only happened maybe 18, 20 times.
Which is amazing.
In a thing of 500. So that gives you a clue of how many leaves are involved, how many different varieties there are. Just amazing. Beautiful, actually.
That's amazing. Let's go to the phone lines where Steve is calling in. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing wonderful. No rain this morning.
Yay! Knock on wood.
Yeah, really.
Which leads me to the question. Last Saturday, I was listening, and near the end of your show, your expert said the best way to dig in this wet soil is to use a stainless steel spade. And I went to Menards and everywhere, and I can't find one. I just wondered if he knew exactly where a stainless steel spade could be found.
Yeah, it's just outside on our patio on the left-hand side.
You didn't come here, apparently, Steve.
Well, and I'm not saying it's the best way. I'm just saying, you know, gardener, you can appreciate the right tool for the job, and whether it's a Felco shear that you can have for years and years or decades and decades in Marianne's case, or whether it's the right spade or the right digging fork, and if you've got a good one, it just makes the work so much better and faster and easier.
Absolutely, it does.
And I have just found that this stainless spade, it's got a really great hardwood handle. It's got a nice metal shaft going up inside the hardwood handle.
Mm.
I have found, because it's sharp enough and it's thin enough while still maintaining its strength, it slices through things very, very well. And when the soil is a little bit mucky and you're on the borderline that you should or shouldn't be digging, which is a whole other issue, that it seems like the muck falls off the shovel better, faster. So you don't have that extra weight on there. So that's why I was bragging about it.
And what is it that you're using it for, Steve? Oh, did we lose Steve?
Must have.
We must have. But I do find that interesting, because I was down at the old station this past week trying to pull out some ornamental grasses to transplant over at our new building. Well, the old new stations in the old News Gazette building. Anyway.
Right.
But boy, having the right spade just
And that's a particularly difficult job.
Thank you. Okay. Because it sure seemed it.
Just because those are so well rooted.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
They truly are.
You're probably, even putting the spade in the soil for the first time, you're thinking, gee, how much pressure do I have to even get through some of the roots?
Yeah, uh-huh. It's pretty intense.
And proper maintenance of your tools is really important, too.
Oh, my gosh,
so you could have a spade that's 25 years old and still be like it's brand new.
Wow.
Just by keeping it sharpened and
clean. I have one of them. I love it.
That's good, because I had a cheap one, and when I was getting down there and wanting to really push on it and pull that stuff up, it was like, oh, I could hear it just snapping, and yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm going to break my shovel. I just know it. So now I'm really going to be looking for the stainless steel shovel out there.
Yeah, the right tool makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. 356-9397 is our number, or you can text us at 351-5357. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Zoe is calling in. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning, Tamara, and everybody.
Morning, Zoe.
I think I'm going to lose my gardenia tree, maybe. I'm wondering, because it's got a lot of spider mite.
No.
Maybe I've had it too long, but...
We're not going to let that happen.
Oh, okay. Well, what can I do? Because we've been putting something. One of my friends has a natural something or other that she's been putting on it every week for several weeks, and she couldn't tell me the name of it, I don't think. But it smells really good, but it's not working, I don't think, because she keeps finding all the, and I do too, all these webby things. And I even found them in another pot that didn't really have anything in it. What is going on?
Oh, dear. That's not good.
So, yeah. So, do you have any suggestions?
If it smells good, it probably sounds like neem.
Neem?
Because it's oils, yeah.
That is a subjective.
Well, true.
or some sort of oil.
Combination.
That's mint and peppery. Yeah.
Citrus.
Cinnamon.
A smothering agent. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, maybe not citrusy smelling, but some kind of, it smelled more like clovey or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it might be some kind of oil. But anyway.
There's probably some formulation of essential oils.
Your dog liked it. Oh, right.
It's not supposed to hurt animals, though, so I'm worried.
Well, that's
I said I wanted to eat it because it smelled good to me.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, do you have any suggestions?
Spider mites are, I think, pretty pernicious and hard to get rid of myself.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I think that I would prefer to use something that's listed as a miticide.
Okay.
And there are several products that we carry that are listed as miticides. Just using an insecticide, like 7, let's say, kills a lot of insects, but it's not a miticide.
Oh.
It has to say on the label that it's a miticide.
Oh, okay.
So it's because that's a different creature, and it just takes...
They're technically not an insect.
Yeah, it's...
They have 8 legs, and so they're an arachnid. So,
oh, yeah.
So
it's just a different thing. It's a different process of eradicating them. And so products that are listed as miticides are what you need to use.
Okay. And do I need to keep those away from my herbs that I'm going to eat?
I would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
so move those away, because I have all my plants all crowded up together, but I'll move those away when we do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I agree. It's like Marianne, if you just have to decide how important it is to you and what you're willing to do.
Right.
And that would include choosing I'll call it an insecticide, but choosing a product that might be more effective, but it also may be more harmful or dangerous, if you will, a little bit. So you just would have to read the label directions and decide if it's worth it to you.
And how often should I put that on, do you know?
It depends upon what you use. And, you know, I think the three of us favor a combination of a three-pronged approach to trying to knock down an insect population, and that could possibly include some sort of a systemic that you'll put in the soil, which will have a completely different repeat application rate than a topical insecticide would. And then so then you could consider a physical removal of the mites, which you could do often. You could do that once a week if you were willing to, where you could just take a soapy sponge, soapy water, and wipe down the plant. Put your palm underneath it.
I was trying to do that.
But you'll physically remove potentially hundreds and hundreds of them that way.
Absolutely.
Plus, when they get wet, they have more problems. So usually in a drier summer, they're almost more pernicious.
Yes.
Just using the Marianne word there.
Oh, interesting.
Than they would be in a wet, because it's easier for them to breed, and they don't have as many diseases, if you will, that affect them and cause a problem for their life cycle. So I would consider some as often as you want to, say once a week, taking a soapy sponge and
right.
and wiping them down real fast. It doesn't have to be meticulous, but just knock them down.
Yep.
And
yeah.
then if you want to use a topical insecticide, whether it's that pleasant smelling one that you have or whether it's something that's listed as a miticide, but at least the granular form you'd want to have listed as a miticide, and I would consider the topical yeah. version too. You just have to yeah. say, what
like
am I willing to do?
That granular sounds like a real good idea too, because getting something in the soil.
It really is, because then it works its way up into the plant, and bugs just, it works, Zoe. I
yeah.
preached it for years, and then I finally tried it.
So if most of my leaves are getting eaten up, it's still not too late. I mean, I can still save it, maybe.
Well, you probably can. I mean, it may defoliate or mostly defoliate the plant, but the leaves will grow back.
They'll come back.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you. It makes me feel
better. It just depends on how much work and effort you want to go to. It's just, but you know, if it's just the challenges. By golly, I'm gonna make this happen. So
well,
you know, that's kind of fun too. Sometimes
a big investment for me. I've enjoyed it for a lot of years.
Sure.
Still, you know.
I think you can. I think you can keep them at bay.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't even be surprised if this physical removal with the soapy water and then this pleasant smelling whatever product you have, even that combination
yeah.
might take care of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll keep working at it. So, hey, thank
Yay.
You for the encouraging words.
I'll tell you what, Zoe, I'm really glad that you called in with those questions, because I learned so much in this past 5 minutes from
you. Well, good. Well,
I really appreciate it. Good questions,
well,
girl.
Thank you, Tamara. Good morning to you all.
Oh,
thank you.
Good morning, Zoe. Take care and good luck
you
with
too.
That.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. 356-9397 is our phone number, or you can text us at 351-5357, Plant Experts Live at Prairie Gardens.
Spider mites can be a real problem on houseplants, particularly in the wintertime inside.
Okay.
Because it's hot and dry.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's what, like Steve was saying, that's what they like. It just gets to be a real problem. But so it's kind of surprising that, you know, we're getting warm, but it's so moist that I'm surprised that Zoe has them, but it's not unheard of.
And so what you're looking for to see if you have spider mites, she said she had little holes in her leaves or
webbing usually, and it's usually on the back of the leaf.
The easiest way to tell is to take a white or yellow piece of paper and hold it underneath the foliage that you think is impacted, and then tap it on that foliage. And if you see very small dust-sized particles crawling around, you have
you're in trouble.
You have
mites.
You
might have mites.
And Marianne and John probably know better than I do, but there's different kinds of mites. You know, there's mites that cause damage to plants. There's predatory mites that eat other mites. I mean, it's like talk about a whole other world down there.
Yeah, it really is.
But yeah, you'd have to kind of know what you've got. But
right.
But most of us have those kinds that seem to.
And a miticide. Mm-hmm. I had not heard of that before. So I'll start watching for that now.
I've had a number of customers over the years talk about having that houseplant problem. And I've used this and I've used it, and they just won't go away. Well, you know, then you explain to them that you have to have a product that's labeled miticide. If the pest you have isn't listed on the container, then you probably are wasting your money. I don't care if it's a spider mite or anything else. If it isn't listed on there, probably shouldn't be using it.
And I favor personally hardly using anything if at all possible.
Yeah, me too.
Well, sure.
Especially
absolutely.
On food products. But
especially.
But on ornamentals, I try not to do it. If I don't absolutely have to do it, then I have to make a judgment whether it's worth it to me or not. But there is something to be said for if you use the right product once, perhaps, and it's effective, is that better for you and better for the environment than using something that's maybe considered a little bit safer and having to do it all the time and exposing yourself to it all the time?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think you have to take everything into consideration
in
terms of frequency and effectiveness. And that's why in commercial applications, some insecticides are still favored in greenhouse production because they consider it to be safer for their associates. You know, even though there may be different warnings on the label, maybe it's more effective and therefore it's more safer because you're just doing it less frequently.
Exactly.
And it takes care of the job, or maybe the application form is there's less exposure. So not to make a bigger deal out of it than what it is, I think you have to bottom line do what you're comfortable with and read and make an informed decision on what you decide to do. But it's got to be effective, otherwise you're just wasting your time and exposing yourself to something that's
continuously to test. That makes a lot of sense.
A lot to be said about mechanical removal. I've gone through a lot of Q-tips and cotton swabs with alcohol on them, isopropyl alcohol, wiping off the backs of leaves and the tops of leaves. I mean, that's just the way we did it for years.
Yeah.
When we were kids.
It does it. I mean, if you're trying to knock out mealybug on a ficus, for example, or something. And
scale.
I mean, it's just a great way to physically get rid of a lot. And again, you don't always have to be perfect if you're willing to do it again and again.
Exactly.
And you can knock them down so fast. So.
Hmm. Well, and while you're sitting there in your chair or on your deck or whatever, just do a little scouting, you know, once a week on your little travels around.
That's an important part inside, of it, John. You're absolutely right.
And that's a big thing before it can get out of control.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and I realize different insects are problems, but just with all this moisture, it just seems like the fungus diseases are going to be...
Yeah.
Oh, exploding soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are, and I think it's just going to...
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a lot of powdery mildew.
It's been some different grass fungal issues, long grasses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just flies.
Roses, black spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Black spots, and what else am I looking for then?
On your roses?
Just depending on what it is you're growing. Yeah.
Mildew, powdery mildew. You can see it. It's gray.
Like I'm getting that on. I think some of our zucchini have set already.
Yeah.
You're just picking the leaves off.
And at some point we might just say, get rid of that plant.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
And, because we're not interested in spraying.
Right.
Yeah.
But there are products listed for vegetables, and it does give you a very specific time usage. But, you know, just follow directions if you think you have to use them. But I like Steve, if it's a consumable, I'm just not in favor of it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to. Or you lose the plant, but you know if you plant enough, you have the latitude to get rid of a couple of them.
Okay. Yeah. So outside of the store, kind of looks like Tahiti, Hawaii.
There's a few palms up there.
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you to. Okay.
I expected to see John wearing a flowering shirt this morning when I.
No kidding. I love all the palms.
Pretty fun.
Let's talk about them. Yes. Now, you have trees out there as well as, what would you call them, a shrub? What would you call it?
Well, the trees, but they're just young.
Oh, okay.
In different varieties.
Yeah,
several different types of palms. The cool one that we have, the big guys, the Adonidia or the Christmas palm, which is cool. I think we've talked about it before.
It's the kind that Marianne took.
I took
home in a convertible.
That you took home. In my convertible? yeah, with the top down.
I would hope so.
I had the seatbelt over it.
They're in the pots, what are they, like 12 feet tall?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, maybe a little more.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just, it's such an awesome plant. I've moved it a couple of times. They're not easy to move.
I'll bet.
And I don't have it in the ground. I have it in a decorative pot.
Okay.
It's just... adds such a statement to the garden.
Do you have a dolly at home?
Duh.
No.
Yeah. I'm thinking, how else can you move? I mean, there's the pot alone that would have to be large enough to contain a 15-foot plant.
Tree. You move stuff like that for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden you get smart and think, my back is shot. I think I better find out a different way to move it.
Anything on wheels,
so
maybe?
I have a wonderful garden cart. The sides will fold down. It's moved so many different items, not just its garage. You know, that kind of stuff, though, you can't pull that up steps. You learn how to roll things. You learn how to maneuver things so that you're not breaking your back.
Yeah.
It only took me 50 years or so.
Well, I'm just thinking, if I had a pool, I would so want a few of those.
Oh, for sure.
Just
you don't have to have a
beyonds.
No.
Yeah, we sold several of them for that very purpose. People and they wanted to put those by them. I hope they bring pictures in. I so want to see them.
Oh, yes.
And the one, our favorite customer, Jeff, from out west, has his down. He has a property that kind of goes down to lake, and he has these cool flower beds.
He
brought pictures in the other day, and he has them out.
Jealous.
Just out as you look down to the lake. It's just this cool. He's got great landscaping. It's just so cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
That's a talent in and of itself.
Yeah, it is.
Just knowing.
But putting tropical things in your garden, there's nothing, nothing makes that statement, that texture, that feel. Like you don't need a dozen of them. Yeah, one or two. It pretty much says it.
Uh-huh.
The bananas, those are awesome. Nice texture. Colors.
Nice.
Yeah. Crotons. Lots of stuff.
Yep.
Beautiful. And so now you were saying before the show that you had decided what to put in, what is it, your biggest container? And you were going to, yes, because we asked what it was, John and I, and you said, I'm saving it for the show.
Oh, outside. No, not my biggest container. The containers, we have some combo pots sitting the short wall out front.
Okay.
And we didn't get to address those before it started raining yesterday. We just got all the palms out. So I did a little shopping this morning about what kind of color and texture put in those. I'm excited. I want John to come and look.
I have an idea what it might be.
Okay.
That's going to be fun.
It will.
So you're just going to tease us with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just have
it's
to come
gonna
out
be
and
a tropical and annual combination.
It will be.
I have a
you
feeling.
Are absolutely right.
Nice.
Great minds, right?
Nice.
It's fun, though. Every season has that fun element about it, I think.
Well, do you know what the most fun color splash is that you can get from tropicals are the crotons?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Just with those colors, the red and the burgundy and the
yellow.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, it is.
And the cordy lines are great, too.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'll be fun.
Nice. All right. 356-9397. This is Plant Experts Live at Prairie Gardens. So what would you say have been the most commonly asked about questions this week? Or what are people coming in and really asking about? Are they having problems with anything?
A little bit. We
powdery
just
mildew.
Touched on some of the fungal
things.
Right.
Issues.
Several people in the last couple of weeks have brought in tops of their tomatoes with they kind of curl. So a lot of that's environmental problems.
Tomato leaf curl. Have you had any of that, Steve? Where the leaves are just curling up?
I don't recall any so far this year. I haven't seen it in a few days. But.
I just totally forgot when we were asked yesterday, but it was an environmental issue, was it not?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it most often would be with that.
Yeah. And some varieties are more susceptible than others.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah.
And location.
Location,
certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Tomatoes are full sun, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Really every vegetable would prefer to be.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about like rhubarb or something if you gave it a little bit of a break in the afternoon. But in the leafier vegetables like spinach or lettuce, you can get by perhaps being a little bit more shaded than the fruiting, flowering vegetables like tomatoes and peppers. But
it's funny, in one of the gardens, one of the hosta gardens in Green Bay, the people were just swarming around this plant, huge, huge leaves, and somebody said, what is it, what is it, what is it? Finally, the owner comes up and says, that's rhubarb.
Not a hosta at all.
It was gorgeous. It really was. Nice curly edges. You know, the leaf stalk was red. It's great.
Well, it is a beautiful
lady rhubarb.
It's great. Yeah, it's pretty.
Let's go back to the phones where Bruce in St. Joe is phoning in. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. And I had a little bit of an answer for your person with the mite problems.
There
is a chemical, and it is an insecticide, miticide, which you were right, you do need something for mites because you mentioned 7, and it's only an insecticide, and it does have no activity on mites at all. But dimethoate does, dimethoate, and it is labeled for ornamentals, so it can be used.
Good.
If you use it on vegetables, it's labeled on a bunch of vegetables, but there is a 3 to 7 days before harvest because it is systemic, so it gets inside the plant, and then when the mites eat on them, it kills them, and it's very effective. Well, mites are normally a problem in dry weather, and the populations right. explode in dry weather, and in damp weather, they're susceptible to a number of diseases and that will generally kill them off pretty fast in wet weather, but if she's got them all over, then she's got them. But dimethylate would be the product that you would be most interested awesome. In that would solve her problem.
What is it that you'd like to grow, Bruce, where you kind of encounter mite problems?
I have very few problems. You do get, in real dry weather, farmers can get problems with spider mites that get in soybeans. And that's a product that they use in soybeans. Doesn't happen very often around here, but there have been some dry years over the past 20, 30 years where there's been a large amount of spraying done because of spider mites.
Okay,
excellent.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. But very informative. We appreciate your call, Bruce.
Okay. Well, it's something that I know about, so I thought I'd help you out just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. We appreciate that.
Yeah. And we have several products on the patio that are listed as miticides out there.
Miticides,
that could be used
in
Zoe's case. We just weren't throwing a number of brands out there, but we've got a handful that she could use.
Yeah, good. 356-9397 is our phone number out here. Plant Experts Live at Prairie Gardens. So what have you been busy doing in your yards?
Well, I haven't been watering so much this week.
Really?
Yeah. The week before and the week before that, there was new plant watering that was taking place. So I've been out of town working the last couple of days, so I haven't really had
any
activity. But last Sunday afternoon, I did a full onslaught on some peppers and some corn that was way too yellow and just did not have enough nitrogen. It wasn't an overwatering issue. They just were not green enough, and they just need to be fed intensely. So they had some intense feeding, both with the granular forms and also with a water-soluble form to be a little bit quicker acting. And very happy with the results.
Great.
Out of the 30 peppers that needed it to varying degrees, I'd say all but two or three appear to have responded super well, and those two have improved. And so they'll get another liquid feeding this weekend.
Great.
Good.
And I like
because we're going to need those peppers later.
We do need those peppers later on. John had some concern there. That was a minor and a quick project that had to be done. But again, seeing the rain forecasting and that some of these granular forms would have a great chance to become active in the soil. And I like to fertilize when things aren't dry. I don't like to, especially new tender plants, I don't like to fertilize if the plant needs to be watered at the same time, if at all possible.
Yeah.
I like to see them get hydrated and then come back through and give them that liquid feeding right afterwards, if at all possible. So anyway, that's been done. I've got some trees that hopefully will get staked over the weekend with all these crazy winds and their new plants that I haven't got some extra support in there.
Yeah.
A lot of mulching. And, of course, like a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of weeding to be done just because of all the rain that we've had. So these spots that if you haven't been watering in a dry area, maybe the weeds aren't so bad, but they're going to be popping up right and left. So even more reason to try and get rid of them and make sure the mulch is nice and thick as a preventative. So anyway, that's kind of more or less what's on the radar there.
Nice.
And a little more planting. I've got some perennials I'd like to work in. It's going to be difficult because of how moist it is, but I'll get that stainless steel spade out.
Yeah.
And
you'll pre-dig some holes.
I'll pre-dig some holes, let them air dry, and then get them popped in there. Well, it'll work out. Got a couple trees to plant still, but
yeah. Nice.
Just stuff. Just your normal stuff.
Normal. Right.
Very cool.
So if I have weeds in the middle of a flower bed,
move. Just run away.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to pull them, but you know how
it's deep. Wet enough. Yeah,
some of those
come out pretty easy.
Right. Some of the roots, though, are so deep that would it be safe for me to squirt like directly onto the weed itself, even though it's in a flower bed, some kind of weed eater?
Well,
kind of. It'll probably get into the flower beds.
Don't do it on a windy day. You're going to get oversprayed no matter how careful you are.
Okay.
So if you want to try that, you need to have some kind of protection around your other plants.
Okay.
Whether it's a piece of cardboard that you put around the plant or plastic bags, you have to be really careful.
So, otherwise, what would you recommend?
You're going to pull it.
Okay.
Pull it, cut it, dab it with an herbicide if you need to do it that way. Paint it on with a paintbrush so you're not spraying.
But
the only thing I don't like about that is then invariably, again, you need to follow the label directions to make sure it's even something that's listed as an application process. And if it's not, don't do it. If it is listed, then the bad part about it is typically you and your face and your head are closer to that than otherwise.
Right.
Often I've used, like John was talking about, with some sort of shield or barrier, I've sometimes taken a large sheet of cardboard. You know, even if it's a non-windy day, but I might put it between the plant I'm trying to spray with an herbicide and the desirable plant, so there just can't be that drift on it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, they're too close to each other. So there's different ways to make it happen.
Okay.
That's what I do with my poison ivy. Wrap around. It still pops up in places you don't want it, amazingly.
Of course it does.
Of course it does.
Huh.
My dad used to go out in the lawn with dandelions and use an eyedropper.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's where you got it.
And knowing him, he probably used Agent Orange.
Probably. You know.
I like the idea of an eyedropper, though.
40 years ago with those farm chemicals, you know.
Yeah.
What's that mushroom cloud?
Two things I still want to cover. First of all, somebody just walked by with gorgeous hanging baskets that just filled the cart and then
some. Gorgeous
was that. That was probably only one or two.
Yeah, right. She had two, but it looked like,
those are 40% off.
40% off all of your hanging baskets, and you have so many in there and such a beautiful variety of colors. I really need to recommend folks to come out and get some hanging baskets.
Yeah. And,
even
and
if
most
you
people,
take the hanger off and
absolutely,
plop it in.
Absolutely, they're not using them as hangers. I just had a couple gentlemen yesterday get 12 of them for a party they were having.
Yeah. And, nice.
You know, they were just going to sit them and put them on pedestals and on
instant
containers.
Instant gratification. And, yeah. Instant.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're just stunning.
That's great.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I wanted to ask about and mention, too, there are still some flowers to be sold that will help CASA out.
Yeah.
So how is that going?
It's CASA going, fundraiser. It's going really well. I haven't looked in 2 days. I didn't look again this morning, but I think I sent an update out maybe Thursday morning. I don't remember exactly when. Thursday or Friday morning this week. And I think with all the stores combined, it was over 5,000. And,
wow, that's great.
And Champagne alone was over 2,000 of the 5,000. So Champagne was doing its more than its fair share. But we still have some left. They're 4-inch potted annuals. I'm not even sure what varieties are left out there, John.
There's some
Cosmos and Dianthus and
some Vinca.
Bunches of stuff.
Nice little selection.
Yeah.
They're normally $2.99. They're on sale for $1.97. And for everyone we sell through tomorrow, we're donating $1 of that $1.97 to the Champaign County CASA. And then we're doing a similar thing at the other stores as well. So Peoria and Sangamon County and McLean County, CPN and Terre Haute, Vigo County CASA. So anyway, that's a fun fundraiser. It goes through tomorrow. So for every $1.97 annual out there, we'll donate $1 of it to the local CASA.
That's great. And it's so wonderful that you've already raised so much money.
Well, we appreciate all the customers responding to it.
Absolutely.
So it's been, it's been fantastic.
Yeah,
you're right. Let's go back to the phone lines where Dee is calling in from Champaign. Good morning, Dee. How can we help you?
Well, I have a redbud tree. Matter of fact, I bought it over there at Prairie Gardens about 7 or 8 years ago. It's a beautiful tree until about 2 weeks ago. I noticed that the leaves on one side of it were wilting, and I watched it, and it's gotten so that all the leaves on that one side of the tree are dead. It's like somebody sprayed it with something, but I've checked around, and nobody in my close neighbors have done any spraying. But it is just, I guess it's dead on that one side, probably a third of the tree. just in the last 2 weeks. Is that something that's happening around?
About how large is the tree? How tall is it, would you say?
Oh, gosh, it's probably 20 feet tall, close to that anyway, and probably 12 or 15 feet wide.
Is what's left still have some value to you, or is it
destroyed? Good, the rest of it.
I would probably take a sample into the plant clinic.
I absolutely would.
Because it's a large enough, important enough plant, and I think you can get an answer back in a matter of days.
Take it where? Bring a sample in to you?
No.
No, University of Illinois Plant Clinic at their Turner Hall on campus.
Where is that?
Kind of right in the middle.
South Goodwin. They're listed in the telephone directory.
Yeah.
They have the capacity to analyze what's going on with that particular plant.
Inside the
plant, which is really important.
What?
University of Illinois Plant Clinic.
Plant Clinic.
And if you have a hard time tracking them down, contact the Champaign County Cooperative Extension here, and they can help you get in touch
with
them.
I tried to call them yesterday, and they'd already left for the day, and so I was going to call them next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would try and make it a priority Monday, because this is really important. And for us to speculate whether it's verticillium wilt or whether it was a borer or whether it was something else, it's really, there's no way we can just tell and talk about it over the radio. But if what's left is nice and has some value with what's dead,
it looks good, the rest of it,
I think you want to take some action as quickly as you can and see if it's something you can do.
Thank you. Bye.
Good luck.
Very well. Good luck, Dee. Thanks for calling in. 356-9397. Now, we only have a minute or two left, but let's see if we can squeeze Joseph and Champaign in. Good morning, Joseph.
Morning, guys. Two quick questions. How do you find out what your soil is lacking? He said that he was lacking on nitrogen. Is there a kit to do soil testing? And my second question is yard fungus. My grass has got a fungus again this year. Is there a preventative for that?
Yes, with the fertilization, you can test. You can buy kits to test to see if it's low in any of the major elements. And I'm doing it just by my reaction in terms of physically how they appear and saying that looks like it's nitrogen deficient to me, but it's lighter green color. It's not because it's too wet. You know how sometimes you see low-lying areas in a cornfield where it's all yellowed out, and it might be not just nitrogen element, but because it's just too damp. But these are situations where they're raised well enough, the plants just aren't responding, so I decided they needed a boost, and so that's what I gave them. As far as the fungicide, any lawn fungicide, if you've had a problem in the past and you want to prevent it, preventives is the way to go for sure.
Yep.
And I think there's, a couple, three products out there in a granular form and a liquid form.
Yes.
That you could try and apply according to the directions. Well, it's not a pre-emergent like a pre-emergent herbicide would be, but the whole idea would be, and sometimes they'll give you directions for curative problems when you have the problem existing already, and they'll give you directions for preventative problems. So the application rate may be different if it's a granular product, but there's a couple different ones out there on the solutions wall that we can show you.
All right.
Okay, very good.
I hope that helps, Joseph. Thank you so much for calling in.
One of those years.
Yeah. 40% off of hanging baskets.
Lots of good deals on other annuals. Just a lot of color still. So if you're entertaining and sharing
annuals for CASA
with family and friends here, we've got the color going on.
Yep. That's great. You've been listening to Plant Experts Live at Prairie Gardens with plant experts Marianne Metz, John Weisgarver, and Steve Brown. I'm Tamara McDaniel. Our producer is Blake Landa. A podcast of this show will be made available later today at WDWS.com. Stay tuned for Saturday Sports Talk with Steve Kelly and Lauren Tate next here on News Talk 1400 WDWS, Champaign-Urbana. And have a wonderful weekend.